Legend has it that the beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved more than all the others, in the Gospel of John, was also the author of the book of Revelation, from which our second reading about making all things new. John was exiled to an island called Patmos, off the coast of Greece. He was the spiritual leader for a small band of followers. The faithful on Patmos often looked to John to speak an encouraging word, words of comfort. His counsel was thought to be very wise, especially since he was an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus, a disciple even. In his declining years, when he was near death, and it became apparent to the community that he served that Jesus would not return before John died, they went to him on his deathbed, and they begged him. They begged him to give them some kind of spiritual wisdom, some kind of comfort, some kind of encouragement that they would have that would keep them faithful after John's death and before Jesus returned. As legend goes, it said that they picked up his pallet and they carried him into the midst, and he raised himself up with the last ounce of strength he had on his elbow, and he said to them, "Little children, love one another." And then, having said that, he laid back down and peacefully fell asleep forever. Of course, that is part of the church's legend about the disciple John. But there is a part of the story that rings true with an authenticity. The very thing John is reported to have said, "Little children, love one another," it is very similar to what we find our Lord Jesus Christ in that 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. What we have is our gospel selection this morning, using very similar words, "Little children, love one another." This is the only time that Jesus calls the disciples little children. You are aware that John had three letters, first, second, and third. In the first letter of John, seven times in that short letter, he uses that expression when he refers to the disciples, "little children." Little children, love one another. Legend or not, you have to wonder if Jesus' disciples were not a little disappointed. That was the best he could do? Little children, love one another? His last will and testament, "Little children, love one another"? That would be like, I don't know, let's see. That would like be if some great philosopher, some spiritual leader, some person full of wisdom that we turn to in moments of crisis and says to us, "Little children, spread the peanut butter on your toast before the jelly." It is to say the obvious. Little children, love one another. Okay. We can all agree love is better than hate, love is better than war, love is better than just about anything else. But really, love is enough to make the world better? Really? Is it enough just to love one another? Will the world be a better place, a safer place, a healthier place, if we just love one another? Well, of course, that has something to do with the kind of loving we do with one another, doesn't it? There are all kinds of love. You can find them at Bartels or Walgreens in the card section, usually. Hallmark has some pretty good selections. They're usually sweet, sentimental, and even romantic. But then there are parents who know something about tough love, too. That's another kind of love, often even harsh, in an effort to help a son or a daughter in the long run. Well, what kind of notion, what kind of idea, what kind of model did Jesus have in mind when he said, "Little children, love one another." The clue is in what comes right after that. Jesus says to his disciples, "Little children, love one another just as I have loved you." What our Lord means by this is that his model of loving is a model of loving that brings the level of commitment of loving to a whole different dimension. Christ's love is committed to us. It is committed to us at the font of holy baptism. At the font of holy baptism, Jesus says, "You are mine, and I am yours. You are mine not because I have some special work for you to do." Indeed, he does. But that is not what he means when he says, "We are his." To be his is to be in Christ, as Christ is in us by baptism. It is to mean that we already have at our disposal every available means Christ will give us to love one another as he has loved us. It is to say that we can do this because Christ has given us what we need to love one another as he has loved us. And how has he loved us? Unconditionally. There is no qualification here. Jesus is so unlike your automobile insurance company. They love you. They love you. Yes, that's what they tell you on television. They love you. They love you because you are a good driver. And because you are a good driver, you're going to get a special kind of love. It's going to be called a lower premium. But if you should have a little fender bender, if you should submit a theft report, you're not going to be loved quite as much. This is the loving that we do with our children and our grandchildren. This is the loving that we do with our spouses. It is always conditional, is it not? Can we not agree that our loving is conditional? It is hard to love unconditionally. Not only is Christ's love unconditional, this gift of love can never be taken away from you. That's Christ's promise too. You can walk away from the font of holy baptism. You can simply say, "Jesus, thank you, but no thank you. You know, I don't believe any of this nonsense. You know, I none of this makes any sense. In fact, you know, religions are responsible for most of the evil in the world. I don't want anything to do with this." Now, most of us would grab the gift back and say, "Well, okay, I'm going to give it to somebody else. But not God. That gift of grace is always there. We can always return. That is the whole reason, my friends, why we have Holy Communion, the Eucharist. We have to do it every week because we have to come back here. And we have to hear that promise again and receive in us the very body and blood of Christ. He is in us and with us. We have every means available to us to love one another as he has loved us. And we are reminded of that when we come to this table and we kneel or we stand with one another. I mean, I know I'm forgiven, but I'm worried about who's on my right and my left. Really, that's what we're worried about. I mean, seriously, God, do you know this person? Oh, yeah. Christ's love is unconditional. It is not only unconditional, it is committed forever. And it is love that will weather every storm, be it the storm of denial, the storm of betrayal, whatever the storm. God's love is not denied, and it is not partialed out to us. But rather, from the very beginning, in the waters of holy baptism, God sticks with us. Every time we come to this table, we hear that promise again. It is the very food that feeds our faith. That is not faith in some kind of belief. It is faith that is trust. It is faith that is trust to love one another as Christ has loved us. And we as the church find it easy to lose sight of what is important. This is Christ's last will and testament. This is his last words to the disciples. Granted, he will go on in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, but he says the same thing over and over again little children, love one another as I have loved you, and everybody will know. Everybody will know that you are my disciples. We sometimes come to think that the church is there to belong to some kind of group, a committee, a council, to make soup for the hungry, or to spend the night in the basement helping the homeless, counting the offering, teaching Sunday school. As important as these things are, and they are important, and they are essential to this congregation's ministry, they are not the most important thing. They are not the ultimate important thing. The ultimate important thing is reconciliation. It is to love one another as I have loved you. Christ's love for us is about reconciliation. It is the risk of faith. Not faith in the Nicene Creed or the apostles or anything else. It is the risk to trust that I can love you as Christ has loved me. That you can love me as Christ has loved you. Little children love one another. So often is the case that the people in the world do not know that we are his disciples, because the church has not been very good about loving one another as Christ has loved us. Let's just be clear about that. We haven't been very good about that. We haven't been very good about being reconciling agents, those who have been gifted with grace to be givers of grace. Often is the case that we do think it's about dogmas and doctrines, beliefs, and about being right, about having the right social statement, the right answer, and having the right infallibility, whether it's a person or a book of paper. It isn't, is it? And deep in our hearts, we know that. We know it's about loving one another as Christ has loved us, and then they know we are his disciples. And how has Christ loved us? He has forgiven us to be forgivers. He has reconciled us to be reconcilers. He has given us unconditional love to be unconditional lovers. Grace to be graceful givers. The church is only the church in the world when it loves the world, the whole world, and everyone in the world, as Christ has loved us, as Christ has loved you, as Christ has loved me. Little children, love one another as Christ has loved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.